What's up, D-Squad? Happy Friday, or happy whatever day it is when you're listening to this. It is our last episode of 2024. Oh my God, I am truly happy and very grateful with how this journey has been so far. Y'all don't make me feel like I'm alone here. And I've said it, I will always say it. This podcast isn't just for me. It's for you. It's for all of us. And that's why I love it when I get your comments, feedback, shares, messages. It just reminds me that truly this is a community and I'm so grateful for that. In case this is your first time here, I am Duchess Iraduhaye and you are listening to the Discovered Oasis podcast. It is the holiday season, y'all, and I know some of you are traveling to the motherland. If you're listening to this on your way back home, I hope you enjoy for all of us who can make it. I remember the time where we used to be able to buy a flight ticket for just, $1,400? And now you can't seem to get anything under $2,000. Like, how are y'all doing it? Do you have any tips? Please share them because we need to know. We all need to be able to fly to the motherland at some point. And for everybody else, I hope you're having fun, whatever you are. In today's episode, I am joined by none other than Steffi Valandrica Nineza, who I met in 2021. And when I say meet, I don't mean in real life, but more virtually. I heard Steffi on the podcast Parole and I reached out to her on Instagram. I was like, girl, that podcast was really good. And look at life. Today, she gets to be a guest on my podcast and I cannot wait for you to hear what she has to say about life in Africa. But before you listen to that conversation, let me tell you a little bit about her. Steffi's story begins in Burundi. She lived there until she was the age of 15 before she moved to Canada to pursue her education. And after school, she worked in investment banking, but she kept feeling the pull of home. She took the opportunity in 2015 to work with a Canadian company in Burundi. Amazing, right? Except that when the political tensions began, she relocated to South Africa. And what happens next is what she's going to share with us on this episode. You will hear us talk about home, what it means to us, her move from Johannesburg to Accra, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's dive in. The first thing that I wanted for us to talk about, the fact that Africa is not one country, that all African countries are not the same. Obviously, I know there are many people who know it, but also there are a lot of people who still don't know and who think that the African countries are like, you go to Uganda, it's like you've been to Kenya, you know, but it's not really the case, right? They're all different in their own ways. So I kind of want us to talk about that, but I want to know first, and I just realized I didn't ask you this, where are you right now?
Today, I am in Johannesburg, actually. My work is based in Ghana, but the reality is a lot can be done online, and the role that I have at my job also covers many countries, 7 countries in Africa and Canada, actually. So I can work from many places. Yeah.
So you've lived in Ghana, or you live in Ghana. You're currently in South Africa, in Johannesburg. You are Burundian. So you've lived in the East, the West, and the South.
Yes.
What have been the biggest cultural shocks for you moving from one area to another?
Oh my God, there's been so many changes. I think, let me speak about the most recent ones, which were the move from Johannesburg to Accra. People tell you about Ghana. I think Ghana is one of those upcoming destinations on the African continent, but I feel nothing can really prepare you for how vibrant the city is. There's something about Ghana and Ghanaians in particular. So I think one of the shock I went through, I went from being in Joburg, has its own particularities. I think safety, the history of the country, so things can feel sometimes a little bit cold. And then you land in Ghana and it's very overwhelming because they are so welcoming. They are so vibrant. It's like every day it's a party. I don't know how to say it, but a lot of energy, a lot of vibrancy. So that was a bit of a adjustment, I'm not going to lie, landing in Accra after having spent 7 years in South Africa. So 7 years is a long time. Another shock, I must say, the pace of life. Ghana reminds me a lot of Burundi in the sense that they're very laid back. I don't know if it's something about living in a very hot place and close to the ocean. What, I don't know. There has to be something about it because I felt like I was going, it felt like going back to Bujumbura. Joburg, everyone is like, Joburg has a bit of a Western culture. They're very about their business, you know, it's like a go, go, go type of mentality. So yeah, a bit of shock,
you know,
in that aspect,
made me think,
a lot of adjustments.
I honestly believe the weather is a huge component of like the wellness. Honestly, yeah. Like I love that you talked about, you know, the, because Johannesburg, I haven't been, but I feel like Johannesburg is one of those, they actually get winter and summer. They have all the seasons,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
That like yes, we would get in the Western
they
world.
Do.
So I feel like, yeah, at some point, you know, you get cold and you just want to stay home and you just, and Ghana doesn't give that vibe. There is a huge community of Ghanaians in Toronto. So I've been around them and they're just homey. They're just kind. They're just, I don't know, not to say the South Africans aren't, but like there's something about Ghanaians, though. I get it.
Exactly. And exactly. Spot on. I mean, and the fact that they're also very big Pan-Africanists, Ghanaians have this approach about you're a brother or a sister from the continent. They're not they're not obsessed about where are you from and how are we different. And again, it's not to criticize. I could speak about, I always say my story in South Africa, it's a love and hate relationship because a lot about the positive things about this country. But that element about where are you from is very big in South Africa. Mm-hmm. They'll speak a local language to you. And if you don't respond back automatically, you're a foreigner. Ghanaians, it's like my sister. Come, they're very big on that as well. So I think it adds to that warmth that you're speaking about, that you've experienced even with Ghanaians that are outside of the country.
When you're in Ghana, does it come out a lot that you don't look Ghanaian?
Actually, I feel like they can tell that, yeah, by looking at you physically, they can tell the difference more actually than when I was in South Africa. I used to be asked a lot of time, are you Zulu, for example? But in Ghana, you know, they can tell, they know our foreheads. They can tell you're either a Rwandan or Burundian sister. They know African history very, very well educated, I must say. So even though they don't obsess on the differences, they know our story. They can tell the physical traits. So yeah, they're very, very well informed.
Because it makes me wonder if a Ghanaian were to go in Burundi, right? Would they know that they're from Ghana just by looking at them? I don't think they would.
People are very big on this thing. Oh, you're West African. That's it. They're not... You're Southern African. There's no such thing as, oh, you could potentially be from South Africa versus Zimbabwe versus Zambia. We're not good with those things. It's like you're East, West, or Southern. That's it.
That's
I think that's all we know.
That's it.
That's all we know.
It's actually, it's true. And even for me, like being in Toronto, you get to meet a lot of Nigerians, Ghanaians, but a lot of Somali, a lot of Ethiopians. And it's always so interesting to see how we almost look at each other and look at the forehead and you're like, that's it. I just know you're East African. You don't have to say a word. I know you're East African, right?
Yes. But
I know for other parts of the continent, you can't really tell. And I was asking that question because when we lived in Cameroon, I would get that question a lot. Like, it's as if they would see me and they would just know that I'm not from there. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I went, I was so young. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting to feel like a minority in Cameroon. I wasn't, because I'm like, we're all black people, you know?
Yes,
but somehow they could see that I'm not from there, and they would always point it out. They would always ask that question. Not to say that it was a problem, but it's one of those things that is like, oh, you can actually tell that I'm not from here. So that's why I was asking that question. I want to know what is home for you.
I love the question because I think my definition of home has evolved. If you had asked me the question in 2014 when I left Canada, I think I was very big on home. I used to always introduce myself, I'm Burundian, but life happened. Things happened the way they happened, and I landed in SA, spent 7 years in SA. Now I'm going into, next month is going to be 2 years since I moved to Ghana. And I think home has evolved for me to say, there's a quote that me and my sisters like to say is, home is where the heart is. For me, home has become a feeling, a place where I've experienced love. So everywhere I feel like I have experienced love, you know what? Then it becomes home. South Africa was a difficult environment. I'm not going to lie. 7 years, there was like a lot of ups and downs, but I can definitely say oftentimes it felt like home because I experienced love in South Africa. That's the first country where I moved with my other half. This is where we got married. This is where, you know, our love stories really took shape. So it is home in a way. It's home for me and my other half, you know. And then now in Ghana, it's a different type of love because I think I'm experiencing love in the sense of community again. I think South Africa was a lot about just me and my other half, but then Ghanaians are very, again, like, they're, you know, that vibe that I was talking about, they have this thing of togetherness. So I feel like it's us going back to being the social beings that we are. And, you know, through friendships and you experience another type of love. So I could see myself, you know what, in 4 years, when eventually we leave Ghana and we land somewhere else, I might look back and feel like Ghana is also home. In the middle of all of that, Canada is definitely on very high on my list of home. If I go with that definition of home is where the heart is, Canada is where my parents live. Canada is where my sisters live. So it is home.
For me, I've always thought something very similar to what you just said, but I always have associated home with where my parents are. So because we moved around a lot when I was growing up, so Burundi, I feel like Burundi for me is like the mother home. Like it will never change. It's always going to be Burundi. But when my parents would move and let's say we're going for vacation, so I don't leave Canada to go to Burundi. I go to whatever country my parents are, Ivory Coast, Cameroon, whatever. Yes. So and I would say I'm going home. But home would always be for me where my parents are. So I love that you also mentioned Canada as being one of your home because it's where your parents are. And it's always interesting for me to hear how other people define home because I know for me it's not necessarily something that's steady. It's similar to what you said about a feeling.
100%. And you'll see now, even on my Instagram, on my bio, I've actually put all four flags. I've embraced it. You know, home is all of these places at the same time. Yeah.
At the same time. And it's beautiful. One thing I wanted for us to dive into, we have a few things in common, you and I. And one of them is that we both left Burundi at a young age. At 16 years old for me and at 15 years for you, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
When was it for you that you realized that you were going to move back to Africa at some point? When was it that you had that click in your mind, like, I'm always going to move to Burundi no matter what?
I think it's the latter. I think in leaving Burundi at the age of 15, I don't think I ever entertained the idea that I was going to never come back. Canada was always meant to be a temporary place. Emphasize why it was always going to be a temporary space is that when I left at 15, it was just my brother and I. I didn't know my mom and my sisters would eventually move and then Canada would become home in that sense. You know what
yes.
I mean? So
yes.
From the get-go, it was always, you guys are going to get a better education, you know, and go and further your studies. And in my head, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going and studying and then eventually I will come back home.
I know a little bit of your story and I know you were in a boarding school with few, you know, Africans. Has your sentiment and your attachment to Africa as a whole, how did it change? If it changed at all?
It grew, definitely grew, because you know when you feel like something has been taken away from you, you start longing for it more. Even the things you take for granted. I'll give you an example. When growing up in Burundi, I was never into learning cultural dances, ever into that. My mom tried. Actually, my godmother was part of one of those cultural groups, dancing groups in Burundi, and she tried a couple of times to get me into. But at the time, I just didn't think it was cool enough. You know, for me, I was like, I'm doing other type of dances. All of the things you think are cool in that aspect. Fast forward to me landing in Canada, I start longing for that, you know, because you start realizing how much it's part of someone's identity, you know. So I would go to these, you know, or see people being part of groups like Inyangezi and everything. And then you're like, oh my God, I should have learned how to dances. And then Ingoma then meant something more. Another thing that I think changed in my perspective on how I looked at Burundi, but also the continent, is that aspect of community. I think yes. If I had never gone to Canada, again, I think I would have taken it for granted. Because you live in it, then you don't realize how big this, how big and important it is. And then we're in a foreign country and then you realize the power of community. I used to see it every single time someone in the Burundian community would lose a loved one and everyone rallies, you know, and my friends and my Canadian friends, they would be really fascinated at how we would get together and do ikiriyo. All of these things that I just never paid attention to, you know, because it was part of our ways of being, then you land into, and it became very fascinating to me, but also a big obsession. You know, I miss that. Like, this aspect of our culture is so beautiful. Like, I think there's a lot of things about our culture that grew closer by yes. me going away from Burundi.
100%. Of course, when you leave, like, somewhere where a community is like, c'est la base quoi. We know we're there for our people. Like every Saturday, you know, I left again very young. I wasn't the kind of person to be like, okay, ndagiye mu rubanza. Like I would only go mu rubanza because my parents are going to. But you get abroad, Steffi, and you're like, yes. Hey, that's everything. You know, yes. You don't have community. What do you have? You know, exactly. So I loved so much that you touched on that because it's definitely one of my things. And I wanted to ask, do you have any friends who don't picture themselves moving to Africa at all?
No. So I probably only have like one friend who seemed like he's comfortable enough in his space. Mm. Everyone else I feel in my circle are all saying with the right opportunity, they would come back home. I think there's that acknowledgement that they can not only contribute to the development of the continent, but also the quality mm-hmm. of life is better on the continent. I would say probably only one person is like, you know, casanier. I don't know how to say it in English. Like, you know, like he's good. Yes. He's good and comfortable in his routine. He's built, you know, he's been in Canada for maybe almost 20 years now. Very comfortable in his ways. But I think most of the people I have in my inner circles are all big lovers of the continent.
How has your work impacted? Do you feel like you have a lot of impact in the work that you do?
I can proudly say the job that I do now, or that I've been doing for the last 2 years, I can say with a big yes that we're changing the lives of young Africans every day. But you know what? I don't think my answer would have been as confident prior to the last 2 years. I knew I was doing important work, but I struggled because I couldn't see how it was directly doing the type of impact I wanted to do. Always tell people, I think I started volunteering when I was as young as 12 years old. Like, I've always been about giving back to the community. With the career I chose then, I ended up in a very corporate world, and then you don't really understand, how am I making an impact? So I would find that I had to spend a lot more time outside of my 8-to-5 type of job doing things that would fill my cup. Right. Now I feel like, fortunately for me, in the last 2 years, it's the first time that I can feel that my work has a direct impact on particularly young Africans.
Do you want to touch on it a bit? I know it's not part of what we're going to talk about, but do you want to touch on it a bit?
I can. So in terms of the organization that I work for, it's a Canadian foundation, but majority of the work they do is on the African continent. So we are aiming to enable young Africans, 30 million young Africans, to get dignified and fulfilling work. And when we speak about enabling young people to get access to work, you need to think of it in the sense of, you need to first educate them. By them getting an education, then they can, you know, get employment or start their own enterprise, right? Because not everyone has to be an employee. You can support and encourage young people to become entrepreneurs. So there's a big portion of what we do that's geared towards education. So lots of partnership with universities, so where we give scholarships in, you know, bachelor degree, master degrees, and then beyond the education is also to transition them into work. It's very exciting because when you hear testimonies, or sometimes I actually get an opportunity to even work with some of the people that used to be our scholars, went abroad, studied, and eventually got a job with us. At the moment, I'm actually working with a couple of them, and then you hear their stories. These kids are brilliant. They're doing brilliant community work where they came from. Sometimes it's mind-blowing. So I'm telling you, 5-minute conversation with them, and I'm like, I did the right move. This is where I was supposed to be.
I'm actually glad that you touched on it, because we talked a lot about community in this conversation, and it's one of the reasons that, for me, of course, you know, this whole podcast is about the stories that, you know, of those who have returned. And most people always talk about serving the community. And I always want to highlight the fact that when we go abroad in the Western world to do, you know, to have a life, to study, to work there, it always comes, and it's not everybody that has this sentiment, but some of us do have the sentiment of, like, I love what I'm doing here, but I know I can have a bigger impact if I were to take it back home. And for most people, that's what it is. For most people, it's like, I just want to go serve my people. You know, I know I'm doing great here, but in Canada, in the US, in Europe, whatever, I'm just another person. Whereas if I go back and take this knowledge and take it to the motherland, I would have more impact. So I'm glad that you actually touched on it, because it's one of the reasons this podcast exists altogether.
But can I add something about the point you just raised about, you know, we have this opportunity, we study, we work abroad, and some of us want to bring that back on the continent. Do you know that there's a huge part of my journey back on the continent that was about accepting that I didn't know everything? And we do, unfortunately, a lot of us have that attitude. You know, we have a very square way of seeing things and thinking, I'm bringing knowledge, so, you know, I'm the know better. There's a lot, I think, about my journey in South Africa that was very humbling. And sometimes in a very harsh way, of knowing you don't know better, right?
You don't.
There's this element that people locally know better. They understand the dynamics, that things that they have to face on a day-to-day basis, you don't know better than them. they are the expert on how to solve a lot of those solutions. So I think even in the space at work where I am, we do a lot of that work where we say we need to be humble enough to recognize that we don't know and someone else knows better than us, right? We might be a foundation that has the resources, so we have the money to implement these projects, but we don't know. Our Canadian education of XYZ, we don't know. So someone else knows better than you. And sometimes it's hard to hear that harsh reality, but I've had to learn it.
There's a friend of mine that calls it, and we usually see it on, or we like to use it on white people when we say white people savior complex or whatever. And she's like, we have the same. It's just that, you know, like we're black people. So it's technically I'm Burundian. I'm going back to Burundi, but I'm also going thinking I'm going to change the way things are. I'm going to save them from like their lateness issues. Like we need to change that, you know, especially if you end up working in an environment where you are, let's say, managing people or managing a team, you're like, I'm going to do things differently. But what I love about you, what you said, and I was just going to add to it, it's like you don't know better, you just know different. You just know something that's different, but it doesn't mean that's necessarily better. We really have to be conscious about, not because you went abroad, studied and worked there means that you're going to change your entire country and the entire continent. Not necessarily. You just have a different view of the world, which is great. I love traveling and also, you know, always opens up my mind. But that doesn't mean you have to change the way things are working on the continent, not necessarily. Yes. So, before we end this discussion, I wanted to touch on the little things that make life on the continent so beautiful and worth it for you. Like you said, it's almost 10 years in different countries. Can you tell me about one or two things that make it so worth it for you? What makes your life inside? Oh, let's actually do two things. One thing for South Africa and one thing for Ghana.
For South Africa, I am going to speak about the beauty of this country, Duchess. Honestly, I don't think I've had the opportunity to travel in many countries, not just on the continent, but around the world. And I can say, hands down, I believe South Africa is the most beautiful country. So for me, things that really bring joy to me has been over these years that we've been here, all the road trips we've taken with my better half, like being on the road and seeing, like you go from mountains to ocean to like, I wouldn't even know how to speak about the beauty of this country. So things that bring me joy is definitely being on the road. And it's something that I'm glad that when I was based in SA, I never took it for granted. So every occasion we had, we jumped in the car and we drove 11 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours. We were on the road, right? And then in Ghana, I know it's going to sound weird, but just being able to walk in my neighborhood, just being able to walk around and feeling safe, just being able to drive around town with the windows down, that's also something that I didn't realize I missed so much, you know, the small everyday things that, again, we can take for granted. And it puts, every time that I'm in Accra and I get to do that, it reminds me of my childhood in Burundi. Because I feel like when we were growing up in Burundi, I could just walk and go to my friend's place down the road. I never really questioned it. And then in the evening, once we're done, whatever with the play date, we just all walk back to in the opposite direction. Safety was never something that I was really conscious about until I moved to South Africa and I realized safety is a luxury. So then the last 2 years in Ghana has been really, really good in that sense of being able to just put your guards down and just go for a walk.
You know what it was for me? It was being able to Kuduga Kui College, I don't know how to say it, but Kuja Kui College for yes. the hike every morning. And it was yes. that same feeling of safety. And I know a lot of people yeah. will be like, oh my God, you go at 5 a.m., you know, you're a girl, like, just be careful. Mm. But I'm like, but I keep meeting people doing the same thing. Like, who's nobody's going to hurt me, right? But it's that being able to be outside, being able to just yes. be, just do whatever you want to do, and it's just safe. That was a big thing yep. for me as well. Now, you said you're leaving SA in December, so I better come before December yes. so that I have a guide, basically.
Expedite.
So it sounds like you know
Expedite.
The country very well. I only have a few weeks.
Exactly. Make your way as soon as possible.
Listen, wherever you're going to be, whenever I have a trip planned to SA, I'm going to make sure, Steffi, can you come? Because I need a guide.
Yes.
11 yes. hours on the road.
We've done more, 16 hours. I love it. It's our thing, and we really yeah. love doing it.
One last question for you. What is your favorite African artist that you're listening to?
Aya Star. I don't know if I'm Aya even
Star
pronouncing
is my
her
name. Favorite.
Yes. I say to everyone, I think she's our Rihanna. Oh. It's between her and Tems. Yeah, maybe lately a lot of Tems because of her new album. But yeah I really like Iris.
I love it. If you had an opportunity to fly to any African country right now, where would it be and why?
I'm gonna be selfish and say Sao Tome because it's on my list. I promise myself that I would not leave Ghana before going to Sao Tome. I recently realized that it's actually a less than 2-hour flight. And it's an island I had never thought about visiting on the continent. So
I wouldn't think of Sao Tome either, to be honest with you. So now you're saying it and I'm
right?
like, yes. I can see it. I can see it. My goal is to visit every African country. So Sao Tome should be on my list, but yeah.
And to be honest, like I'm saying, 2 years ago, before I moved to Ghana, I had never thought about it either. But then it just so happened that once we were having a conversation with a friend and we're like, it's so close.
Let us know how it goes, please.
Yes.
For those of us who follow you on Instagram. We're waiting for those stories,
I will,
okay?
You know, I'm very active on Instagram. You don't have to worry.
Is your account open?
No. No, it's not open, actually.
It's private. Okay, so never mind. I have my own.
No, because now I sound very snobbish. Like, it's a very exclusive account. Don't make me look bad like that.
It is.
No, but I have a public account. Husband and I have a public account. So maybe they can follow the couple's account, not mine.
So
I'm too open. I'm too much of an open book to be opening my account unless I want my family to disown me.
Thank you so much for being a part of this journey, for sharing your story. Maybe you want to tell people where they can find you, maybe on LinkedIn. You're very, very big on community and I've seen it. Maybe
yes.
you want to tell people where they can find your work.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think LinkedIn would be a great place because I think every single time I do any community project, I post about it on my professional platform. Please do look me up, Steffi Barandereka Nineza. I'm really happy to connect. And I'm also passionate about mentoring young professionals. So if you're a young professional and you have questions about how to navigate your career journey, I always share about that as well on my LinkedIn. So please come and find me.
I'm going to make sure I include the link in the description. But thank
Perfect.
You so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, y'all, I know we talked about flight tickets being expensive, but I want to go to South Africa and Accra. But beyond the travel inspiration, there is something really important that Steffi mentioned that I hope everybody goes home with after this conversation. It's the fact that as Africans in the diaspora, we need to accept that we actually don't know everything about home. And it hurts sometimes. I've been there. I know. Yes, living in the Western world has given us different perspectives. But as Steffi has put it so well, we don't know better. We just know different. So So yeah, I will leave you with that to meditate on. Please let me know what parts of this conversation stood out for you. Drop your thoughts in the comments or send me a DM. And don't forget to check out Steffi's LinkedIn page. I will leave it in the description. And as always, don't forget, no matter where you are, there's always a path to discovering your own oasis. Thank you for tuning in. I'll talk to you soon.